Wonderland Part 10. We've just got three more chapters to go and we'll be finished. The next day, Rose moped. She arranged her china horses. She counted her dresses to see if Mavis had been right. Yep, 17. Then she went to Grace's room and wandered around, touching her things and looking at her scrapbook filled with movie ticket stubs and dance recital programs and a lock of hair from a boyfriend. She went downstairs and stepped on every single square of the marble tile in the foyer. She sat on the velvet couch in the living room and listened to her mother explaining to Miss Jeter what to do about the white water ring on the mahogany dining room table. When her mother said something like, "That's what coasters are for," Miss Jeter said something back in a snappy voice. When Monroe Tucker started the hedge clippers out in the yard, Rose went on the porch and sat between Pete and Larry and watched him trim the boxwoods along the driveway. But after a very short while, Rose got tired of moping. She thought about getting her skateboard out of the garage and riding it around Magnolia Estates. Wouldn't that surprise everyone? But no, that didn't sound like much fun, so Rose decided to visit Mr. Duffy. Imagine her surprise when she got to the gatehouse, and there was Mavis playing checkers with Mr. Duffy. In fact, she was so surprised that all she said was, "Oh." Mr. Duffy said, "Hey there," and Mavis lifted a limp hand in a half-hearted wave. "You're playing checkers," Rose said. Mr. Duffy nodded. "That we are. I thought you didn't like playing checkers anymore," Rose said, trying very hard not to sound like a baby, even though she was pretty sure she did. Mr. Duffy chuckled. "Well, old Mavis here is one stubborn mule. I had about as much chance of a grasshopper in a chicken house trying to say no to her." "Oh," Rose said again. She was pretty sure Mavis was trying not to smile. She saw the corners of her mouth twitching. Then suddenly Mavis jumped Mr. Duffy's checkers with three loud slaps on the board and hollered, "Boom, boom, boom, king me." She jumped off her stool and did a little jig of a dance, pumping her fist and saying, "That's what I'm talking about." Mr. Duffy laughed hard. Then he took a handkerchief out of his pocket and wiped his eyes. Jealousy bubbled up inside Rose, making her stomach hurt and her face burn. Then the bubbling jealousy worked its way down to her feet, making her run out of the gatehouse door and all the way home. Henry didn't know how many days it had been since he'd crawled under the fence and run away from Wonderland, but each day seemed to get harder. He wandered through woods during the day, sometimes napping on damp moss in the cool shade of the sycamore trees. At night, he searched for food in alleys behind the diners and markets of Landry. Once in a while, he wandered through neighborhoods, sniffing around garbage cans and occasionally coming upon a bowl of food left out for somebody's wandering cat. Then Henry wasn't just hungry. He was lonely. At least at Wonderland, there were other dogs to keep him company. He used to hate staying cooped up in a kennel so much, but now that he was free, that kennel didn't seem so bad. And although he'd never had one person to call his own, there had been trainers and handlers around most of the time. And then there was that bald man named Roger who called him Naughty Rocket Boy and gave him a pat on the head once in a while. But now that Henry was out of Wonderland, he realized that what he really longed for was somebody all his own. He often thought about those girls, the wild-haired one with the quiet and the quiet one, how they had called him Henry and stroked his sides and kissed his nose. As the sun began to sink and the fireflies twinkled among the ferns and May apples scattered through the woods, Henry scratched at the leaves and the pine needles to make a soft bed for the night. By the time darkness had settled, he was dreaming, a peaceful dream, of being stroked and kissed and loved by someone all his own. Mavis. Mavis wasn't a moper. Mavis was a doer, a problem solver, an adventure seeker. But here she was on a sunny summer day in Landry, Alabama, sitting on a log in a vacant lot, moping. Because here she was without a best friend again. She had thought this time would be different. She had been certain that she and Rose would be real best friends, not that fake kind like she'd been before. The kind where someone claimed to be your best friend, and then the next thing you know, they were telling lies about you on the playground, or not saving you a seat on the bus, or flinging peas at you in the cafeteria while the other kids at the table laughed. But now, here she was, on this log, by herself, and Rose was in her fancy house, probably admiring her 17 dresses, or eating tomato aspic on a china plate. Or maybe she was at her mother-daughter book club with a new best friend. Mavis kept watching the street, hoping to see Rose headed this way. But she didn't. The street was empty. The vacant lot was empty, except for the grasshoppers popping up every now and then in the tall, dry weeds. The sun beat down, burning the back of Mavis's neck and making the red dirt beneath her bare feet warm as toast. Suddenly, Mavis was struck with a feeling. Loneliness. A deep, sad loneliness that caught her off guard and made her cry. A slow, quiet cry. The tears rolled down her cheeks and dropped onto the dry dirt beside the log. Mavis thought about the day when Mr. Duffy had talked about Edna keeping the coffee warm and how she had felt so jealous seeing what good friends Rose and Mr. Duffy were. She thought about Rose going to Wonderland, even when she didn't really want to. She thought about how she'd gone into the woods where she wasn't supposed to go, and how she'd borrowed Amanda's bike and gotten her sandals dirty and let Mavis take her mother's quiches and liver pate. Mavis wished Rose were here, being her best friend again. She swished a stick around in the dry dirt beside the log. She wrote Rose plus Mavis. Then she tossed the stick into the bushes and headed home to listen to her mother complain about Mrs. Tully. Well, it seems like, girls, everybody's just miserable. Let's see if they can't fix that. Rose. Rose was pretty sure that she was the unhappiest girl in Landry, Alabama. She sat on Grace's window seat and made a mental list of the reasons she was so unhappy. 1. Mr. Duffy, who had always been so fun and cheerful, was now sad and grumpy. 2. The same friend, Mr. Duffy's, was getting more and more forgetful and making so many mistakes that folks in Magnolia Estates were getting more and more impatient with him. 3. She had argued with her new and only best friend, Mavis, and now they weren't even talking anymore. 4. Mr. Duffy never seemed to want to play checkers with her, but then there he was playing checkers with Mavis. So now maybe he liked Mavis more than he liked her. But then who could blame him? Mavis was fun and adventurous and brave, which she, Rose Tully, was not. 5. That poor sweet dog Henry needed a home, and Mavis was so sure that she could convince Mr. Duffy to adopt him, but Rose wasn't so sure. 6. Her mother complained about Miss Jeter nearly every minute of every day. 7. Her sister Grace was gone and Rose needed her. 7 reasons to be unhappy. That was a lot. Suddenly, a noise outside made Rose stop thinking about how unhappy she was. The sound of a skateboard on the driveway. Mavis. It had to be Mavis. Rose jumped up off Grace's window seat and ran downstairs and out the back door. She hurried through the hydrangea garden to the front of the house. Sure enough, there was Mavis riding the skateboard up and down the driveway. She glanced over briefly, but then looked away and began to whistle as she rode the skateboard up one side and down the other. Wasn't that just so like Mavis, breaking that rule about not riding the skateboard on the driveway and then whistling while she did it? Such a Mavis thing to do. Rose marched out into the middle of the yard with her head high and her arms swinging. Then she took off her sandals and flung them into the air so high that one of them landed in the top of her mother's favorite magnolia tree. Then she, Rose Tully, scampered around in a circle on the grass, not caring one little bit if she got ringworm. Mavis had stopped riding the skateboard and was standing gape-mouthed at the edge of the yard, staring up at Rose's sandal in the magnolia tree. Then she grinned at Rose and hollered, "That's what I'm talking about." Rose grinned back. Then the two of them headed up the street toward the gatehouse, Mavis's skateboard whirring and Rose's bare feet slap, slap, slapping on the asphalt road. Mavis could hardly believe her eyes when Rose had flung her sandals up in the air like that, so unlike her. And then she'd gone and run around the yard barefoot as if she'd never ever heard the word ringworm. This was a new Rose, and best of all, a Rose who wasn't mad at her anymore. Mavis was relieved, and now they could get back to being best friends again. When they reached the gatehouse, Mavis hopped off the skateboard and said, "Okay, here's plan B. We'll do the old guilt trip." Rose looked puzzled. "What guilt trip?" "You know, like Mr. Duffy make Mr. Duffy think his heart really is a thumping gizzard if he can go and let a poor, innocent dog have no home of his own and nobody to love him." "I don't know," Rose said. "That seemed kind of mean." "No, it's not," Mavis said. "I'm really good at guilt tripping." When they got inside the gatehouse, Mr. Duffy was on the phone telling somebody he was certain he had never had the names Jolene and Travis Bivens on the guest list. Then he held the phone away from his ear and rolled his eyes. The person on the other end of the phone was mad. Mavis could hear snatches of loud, angry words. "I told you! How many times? So embarrassing!" Mr. Duffy shook his head and winked at Rose and Mavis. Then he put the phone back to his ear and said, "Yes, ma'am," and hung up. "You don't have to hang from a tree to be a nut," he said. "Then that woman is most definitely a nut. I swear she could start an argument with an empty room." Then he turned to Rose and said, "Rose Tully, what got into you running out of here like you done the other day? You trying to make an old man older?" Rose blushed. "No, sir." Mavis jumped in quite before the old worried Rose came back and took over the new brave Rose. "Everything's good now, right, Rose?" she said. Rose nodded. "We want to talk to you about Henry," Mavis said. Before Mr. Duffy had a chance to say anything, Mavis started working on the guilt trip. She told Mr. Duffy how Henry was all alone in this world and how he devoted his whole life to racing and now he was a has-been and nobody wanted him. How all he wanted was a little love and a home of his own. Was that so wrong? On and on, guilt-tripping like crazy. A couple of times Mr. Duffy opened his mouth to say something, but Mavis kept right on going. Every now and then, "Right, Rose," but she didn't stop long enough for Rose to do more than a nod. When she finally felt like that guilt trip was the best that it could be, Mavis stopped. Mr. Duffy took his cap off and ran his hand over his bald head and put it back on again. He looked out the window and up at the ceiling and down at the floor. Then he took a breath and opened his mouth to speak. But a noise at the screen door made him stop. He looked at the door. Rose looked at the door. Mavis looked at the door. There, scratching on the screen, was Henry. Henry. When Henry had wakened from the dream about having someone all his own, he made a decision. He was tired of being alone in the woods. He was going to look for those girls. They had been so nice to him, kissing him and petting him. So he ran for hours through the fields, across the roads, and in and out of woods until he found what he was looking for, the wrought iron fence where the freckled girl had left him bowls of food. He sniffed around the ferns and leaves and wild raspberries. He wandered in and out of the fragrant pines and shady sycamores. But those girls were not there. Then he remembered the little house where they had taken him, the one with the gray-haired man. But he also remembered that that was where Roger had come to get him. What if Roger came again? But maybe this time something good would happen. Maybe this time Roger wouldn't come. Maybe this time those girls would let him stay with them. Henry had followed the same route as before, running along the fence and up the asphalt street to the little house beside the gate. His heart had leapt with joy when he heard voices through the screen door. Voices of those girls and the gray-haired man. He scratched on the screen. When they saw him, the girls squealed, "Henry!" They ran to the door and let him in and showered him with hugs and kisses. Henry had never been showered with hugs and kisses before. The old man said, "Jeepers, how in the heck did that dog get back here?" "Please don't call Wonderland," the wild-haired girl said. Then she put her hands together like she was praying and added, "Let's keep him for a little while." The quiet girl said, "He's so skinny. I bet he's hungry." The old man heaved a big sigh and shuffled over to his desk. He took a paper bag out of a drawer and brought Henry a tuna fish sandwich. Henry had never had a tuna fish sandwich before. He gobbled it up, and then he put his head in the old man's lap. The old man put his hand on top of Henry's head. His hand was warm. Henry let out a little whine of contentment and wiggled his tail to say thank you. Rose looked at Mr. Duffy sitting there with his hand on Henry's head, and for the first time she had a little glimmer of hope that maybe, just maybe, Mavis's plan had worked. Maybe all that great guilt-tripping had convinced Mr. Duffy to keep Henry. But that glimmer disappeared when Mr. Duffy said, "Y'all know this dog has to go back where he belongs, don't you?" And then, of course, Mavis had jumped in the way. Mavis always jumped in, reminding Mr. Duffy that Henry was up for adoption and needed a home. Rose was afraid Mr. Duffy was going to start talking about how he was too old to get another dog, but that didn't happen. Instead, Henry lifted his head off Mr. Duffy's lap and walked over to Queenie's bed and lay down. The little gatehouse grew quiet, and Rose and Mavis and Mr. Duffy looked at Henry curled up in Queenie's bed, already fast asleep. He looked so peaceful there on the fluffy round bed with Queenie embroidered in blue. Rose's mind raced. Would Mr. Duffy get mad at Henry for sleeping in Queenie's bed? Would he wake him up and tell him to get off that bed? It wasn't his bed. But Mr. Duffy didn't do that. What he did do was look at Rose and Mavis and say, "I've got to call Wonderland to come and get that dog." Mavis dropped onto the stool with a big, heavy sigh. She made a pouty face. She let out another big, heavy sigh. But it was no use. Mr. Duffy called Wonderland to come and get Henry. Mavis went over to where Henry was still sleeping on Queenie's bed and lay on the floor beside him, trying her best to look pitiful. She was glad to see that Rose was doing a pretty good job of looking pitiful, too. She sat slumped in Mr. Duffy's desk chair, spinning it slowly in circles with her toe. Mr. Duffy stood at the gatehouse door, watching from the van from Wonderland. It didn't take long for the van to arrive and Roger to come into the gatehouse, carrying a leash. "I, Swanee Rocket Boy, what are we going to do about you?" At the sound of Roger's voice, Henry opened his eyes and sat up. Mavis threw her arms around him and hugged his neck. Then she turned her pitiful face to Roger and said, "What's going to happen to him?" "He's going to go back to Wonderland," Roger said. "I'm trying to find a foster home for him, but no luck yet." Mavis forgot about making her pitiful face and jumped up off the floor. "Foster home," she said. "Really?" "Sure," Roger said. "We always try to find foster homes for our rescue pups. It's better for them to be in a home instead of cooped up in that adoption center." Mavis whipped her head around to look at Mr. Duffy. "Did you hear that?" she said. Mr. Duffy held up a hand and said, "Hold on now, Missy. I don't..." "But it's perfect," Mavis said. "Right, Rose?" Rose looked at Henry and then at Mr. Duffy and said, "Yes, it's perfect." Mavis grinned. Finally, Rose wasn't being wishy-washy and hemming and hawing like she usually did. Now it was time to try the old guilt trip again. "You won't be keeping him," Mavis said. "You'll be giving him a nice place to live until somebody whose heart isn't as thumping gizzard comes along to help a sad homeless dog." Mr. Duffy frowned. "Don't be pulling that on me, Miss Mavis." Mavis tried to look innocent. "Pulling what on you?" Mr. Duffy cocked his head at her and narrowed his eyes. "Just think what good company Henry would be," Rose said. "I bet he'd like to go fishing with you down at the lake, and..." "Now don't y'all go ganging up on me," Mr. Duffy said. He stroked his chin and looked down at Henry. "See how quiet he is," Mavis said. "He hasn't barked one single time since we found him." "And I bet he'd love your trailer," Rose said. "And he could ride in the truck with you and stay here in the gatehouse with you while you work." On and on they went. Mavis, then Rose, then Mavis again, working on Mr. Duffy until he finally turned to Roger and said, "So tell me what I have to do to be able to foster this dog." Roger told Mr. Duffy about filling out some paperwork and having a home inspection to make sure Alabama Rocket Boy would be safe. "Then just take him home, feed him, and love him a little," Roger said, "until I find someone to adopt him." Mr. Duffy looked down at Henry. "So it's only temporary, right?" "Right. And I can come and take him to Wonderland if it doesn't work out." "Right." Mr. Duffy scratched his chin. "Well, I reckon I can take him for a little while." Mavis let out a whoop, and she and Rose did that special handshake, slapping, snapping, and fist bumping. Plan B had worked out pretty good. Now all they had to do was make sure that Mr. Duffy fell in love with Henry, and she had no doubt that she and Rose would be really good at that. Ooh, those girls are pretty convincing, aren't they? Night, girls. Love ya.